listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! Welcome to the Animal Party with Deborah Wolf. I'm your hostess at this great party. We've got dogs, we've got cats, we've got goats, we've got sheep, we've got horses. We've got everything today. And I'm going to ask you right off the top of the show our trivia tease question of the day. What kind of milk do you think they're going crazy for in Europe right now? Is it sheep milk? Is it goat's milk? Or is it horse milk? I'll give you a hint. It is supposed to be healthier than cow's milk. Lower in fat, lower in cholesterol, lower in drugs. Can be, the advocates of this say you can drink it without pasteurizing. Okay, so is it sheep, is it goat, or is it horse milk? The newest milk on the market, the milk that's taking Europe by storm. What do you think it is? Well, I'll tell you at the end of the party. And for now, we're going to join the party. We're going to move on over to the hors d'oeuvres. Check out what's here. I see we've got some human treats and some dog and cat treats over there. Cat treats, because today we've got Beth Adelman joining us. And she is known to many of you as the Cat Lady because of her column in the Sunday New York Post. But not only that, she embraces the Cat Lady. She is the Cat Lady. She's okay with the idea of sharing her toast with cats. She's okay with the idea of having many sweaters and many cats and cat hair on said sweaters. She's okay with all of that. And so we'll be having her on later today. She's also the former editor-in-chief of Cats Magazine and Dog World. She's been managing editor for AKC Gazette. So this is a woman who's got her chops in the pet world, definitely. And she's won several awards from the Dog Writers Association of America and the Cat Writers Association for her work, which means she's top-notch in her field, really. The best of the best, the cream of the crop. So that's who's coming to join us today to talk about cats and misunderstanding them. But she does it with a sense of humor. Her book, Every Cat Survival Guide to Living with a Neurotic Owner, just in its title, you know it's going to be funny. And she definitely gets how we misunderstand our cats. We think they're mean. We think they're nasty. We think they're mad at us. We think they're punishing us. But they're not. They're just being cats. And so she helps you figure that out and change what you're doing at home so they stop pooping on the floor and shredding your things and scratching you and all these wonderful things that the cats we love do back to us for what seems like no apparent human reason, but is absolutely reasonable to a feline. So we'll talk about that later. So now, before we get the party going, I better go to the sponsors because they brought all the food, they brought all the drinks, they even supplied the music. So let's hear it from our sponsors and come back to the party right after.
Don't go anywhere because the best is yet to come. Stick around.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step by step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Animal Party. We're going to have Beth Adelman on the show today, and she is the cat lady from the Sunday New York Post. But for now, I want to talk to you about some other things. Before we get off on the feline track, I just wanted to say that I've got some news for you. First of all, they've been talking lately about how dogs bark, but deer bark too, and monkeys bark, and all kinds of animals bark. And so they came out with this study, and they figured out that basically, the way they concluded it is that dogs bark because they're mobbing. So the only reason a dog barks is an anti-predator response called mobbing. That's it. And that's why the birds bark, and that's why the deer bark, and that's why the monkeys bark, and therefore that's why the dogs bark. So, but while I agree with some of what they say, I do think that dogs in a non-human environment, that is all true. But in a human environment, our dogs have learned that we are absolute idiots at reading their body language. We're just so bad at it. We're really stupid. We can't smell when they're stressed out. We can't smell when they're happy. We can't look at the way they're standing and all of a sudden know there's an intruder or know that there's food coming. We don't know anything. So we can't even smell the food coming or the prey. So they've learned that in order to tell us anything, they have to bark. And they've also learned that different barks produce different reactions in us. So I would suggest that this study is a little bit off, because while they admit at the end of it that dogs do quickly learn, and I'm quoting them, dogs do quickly learn the simple cause and effect relationship between their bark at 10 p.m. and the fact that you'll get up and walk them. Okay, so they admit that they've learned to bark to make you walk them at certain times of day, but they're missing the fact that domestic dogs have learned to do that in all kinds of ways. So this study says, basically, don't think your dog is saying, I want to play, or your house is on fire, or anything like that. All he's saying is, woof, 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 mob, 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 gather the troops, gather the troops. That's basically all he ever says. And I would suggest that that's completely inappropriate and totally wrong for a dog who lives with humans and has learned to say all kinds of things like, Auntie Sally's on the driveway, or my best friend next door, Fifi, is going for a walk, or that cat you hate is in the bush in front of the window, or mailman coming, that might be mobbing, to tell everybody in the neighborhood. But there's different kinds of barks for different kinds of human needs. And also, I noted that they missed a few animals that I would suggest bark. They named, and this is from Science Daily, and it was a big deal a week ago, they named deer, monkeys, birds, and dogs as barkers, but they did not name seals and sea lions. So I think that was a bit of a mistake there. Okay, so I just wanted to comment on that. Well, that about wraps up my news for today. I've got a little bit of some trivia and some leftover news and party tricks for the end of the show to keep you guessing. But right now, we're about to go to my guest of the week, and it's Beth Adelman. She's a certified cat behavior consultant. She wrote this book that I love called Every Cat Survival Guide to Living with a Neurotic Owner. So you can tell she has a sense of humor. But she's also written a bunch of books since, including some books for kids like Good Dog and Cool Cats and The Pony Guide and Killer Whales and Beautiful Ballerinas and Weird Pets. So we're going to have her come on and talk to us about that. Some of you may know her already, because she's done a lot of work for the Cat Writers Association and for Dog Writers Association and for Dog World Magazine and the AKC Gazette, so, and Cats Magazine too. So you'll know her as the former editor-in-chief of Cats Magazine. But now she's the cat lady writing her column for the Sunday New York Post. And we're going to have Beth Adelman on to talk about cat topics in a moment. So listen to this word from our sponsor, and we'll be back with Beth Adelman.
Don't leave this party before it's over, because the best is yet to come. Only losers leave the party early anyway. Party on, back in a few.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about. And what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. Now, I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
You're inside the VIP room
with the hottest party in town.
Back to the party.
Let's go.
Welcome back to the party. I'm glad you joined us. That was a great word from our sponsor, but now we're ready to party on with Beth Adelman. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you are the cat lady, aren't you? The cat lady column for the Sunday New York Post. I've got you on my show. For everybody who's always wanted a word with you, they can listen to you now. Welcome.
Thanks. You know, it's funny because when we started that column, my editor asked me what I wanted to call it, and I said, let's call it the cat lady. And he said, well, that just sort of makes you sound like a middle-aged lady with a lot of fuzzy sweaters. And I said, okay, I am a middle-aged lady with a lot of fuzzy sweaters. No problem.
I embrace it. Yeah, that's funny. Okay. So when you look at people and their cats, and I know you get a lot of one-on-one contact with some really naughty kitties, what are you seeing going wrong out there?
What I see going wrong mainly is a lot of misunderstandings between people and their cats. The cats are misunderstanding the people's intentions. The people are misunderstanding the cat's communications. And as happens with any two creatures, when they have a misunderstanding, bad feelings can ensue, not because anybody behaved badly, but because they're just not understanding each other.
So what do you do to correct that? I mean, if they come in and they have a concrete problem, like they say the cat's vindictive or mean or something like this, but you figure out that what they really mean is the cat wrecks their things or the cat attacks them. Okay, what do you do?
Well, the first thing we try to do is try to get away from describing the cat's behavior in judgmental terms, like the cat's being vindictive or mean or jealous or angry or full of revenge or whatever, and try to get to describe the cat's behavior just in terms of what's happening. When I move very quickly down the hallway, the cat bites my ankles, or when I go away for the weekend, the cat poops outside the litter box, or some other just a very basic, you know, description of the behavior that doesn't have a lot of emotion and judgment in it. And when you start to look at the behavior in that way, it's easier to look at what's really going on, to understand what the person wants, to understand what the cat wants, and then see if we can find a way to compromise, to give the person what they want and to still give the cat what they want and need.
So the person thinks the cat's mad at them because he poops outside the litter, but really, maybe the cat needs a different kind of litter box or a different kind of litter. It could be something like that.
Okay, and cats often don't use their litter box when their people are away, and it's one of two things. Either they don't have someone coming in often enough to clean the litter box, and so the litter box gets dirty and the cat won't clean it, the cat won't use it. Or sometimes cats are very stressed when their people are away. They miss them, you know, and it's like you can say to the cat, oh, I'll be back in 3 days, but the cat doesn't really know that. And so there's a possibility you'll be back, and there's a possibility you'll never be back. And cats get very, very stressed. They also have the stress then of being alone and not having your and companionship. And when cats are stressed, they do tend to not use a litter box. That's one of the ways that they deal with stress, is to spread their smell around the house. They also sometimes mix their scent with yours. So when you're away, the cat might pee on your bed or pee on your clothes. And what they're doing then is just mixing their scent with yours, which helps them to deal with the stress of you not being around. It's like, well, we're not together for real, but now we're like together in the smell world.
Yeah, no, that seems horrible. That seems disgusting to us. But to a cat, that's not. That's not, I'm mad at you, I poop on your bed. It's, I love you, let's mix our fragrances.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, so that goes back to what I said about a lot of the bad feelings between cats and people have to do with misunderstandings, that we're just not understanding. And, you know, I'm not saying that you should let your cat poop on your bed or embrace it. Oh, I love it when my cat poops on my bed. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that, you know, to solve the problem, you start by understanding what caused it.
So in that instance where a cat is stressed because it doesn't understand that you're leaving for one night or two nights, it thinks this is forever. Is it like with dogs who have separation anxiety? Would it help that cat if the family went out for an hour here, 2 hours there, half a day, three quarters of a day, then a day, and then the big trip? Would that help so the cat understands coming and going?
Not really, because it's not that you're out of the house, but that you're out of the house for a very long time. Okay, because most people who have cats actually, you know, work. And so they're away from the house, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours a day anyway. What's stressing them is that usually you come home in the evening and suddenly you're not. And so the things that help there are a number of things that help. One is having someone come in, you know, several times a day, you know, if you can. You know, sometimes you get a cat sitter, but you can also get your neighbor's kid to come in and just play with the cat, you know, to just give the cat something to do. You can also set up some things around the house to give the cat some diversions. You can leave toys in secret places and little treats in spots. You can make sure you get a bird feeder and fill it up so the cat can look out the window, because looking out the window is cat TV, and if you have a bird feeder, then it's cat HBO.
It's really, you know, but watch the placement of the curtains, though, because if there's something like prey and a window and a curtain, you're likely to get some damage if you don't really watch this. So when you set it up before you go away, make sure that you set it up in a safe kind of non-destructive way before you leave for a week.
Oh, absolutely. And if you're going to be out of the house, you can leave the curtains open anyway. No one's going to be looking in to see you. So it's important, you know, to sort of set up things for the cat to do. And also, I like to, when I go away, I leave some things around the house that have my scent on them in places where the cat rests. So I take some old T-shirts, and I just, you know, for a couple of nights before I leave, I sleep in a different old T-shirt every night, and then just kind of leave them out on the floor in places, or on the couch in places where I know my cats like to rest and hang out, so that when they're in a resting and comfortable situation, they're also smelling my scent, and that they do find comfort in that, and it helps to reduce their anxiety.
One thing I want to add to this is when you said about a house sitter or a friend to visit, pick your person carefully. If you pick someone who loves you and will do this for you out of a duty to you, but they happen to be allergic to cats, that's not the right person. You know, they're doing it because they feel good about you, but they're not going to touch your cat. They're not going to hold your cat. They're not going to do for your cat what someone who adores cats and maybe doesn't like you that much would do for your cat. So when you're picking the person to visit, pick someone who's really nuts about cats. That's the best way to go, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I think sometimes, you know, you find people who love your cats but don't necessarily want to scoop the litter box. And that's a situation where you can pay a cat sitter to come in and scoop the litter box and pick up your mail and put down food and all of that, and then have a friend who, you know, perhaps just because they love your cats will do it for nothing, to come in and do some play and cuddle as well.
And teenagers are great for this, but I would suggest if you offer them a little bit of money, they'd be willing to scoop the litter as well. The thing is, though, if you're involving kids or teenagers, make sure you get their parents' agreement and help with this, because you are going to be away for a while. And if the teen just forgets or doesn't show up, your cat's in distress. So you have to have a parent kind of overseeing that. But if a teen has a chance to watch TV in a place without their parents and make their own phone calls and, you know, return their text messages without anybody watching them, and they can also hang out and eat junk food and pet your cat, they'll probably jump at that. So just make sure you know them well and the parents involved so there aren't any parties going on. Okay, so let's go to some other problems people have. So going away and coming back to damage sounds like a big problem. I would say that litter box problems, we've already covered a little bit, but we might just want to add to that a bit. Sometimes cats go off their litter because the litter itself isn't right. Sometimes the box isn't right. A lot of times it's in the wrong spot. It's in too busy a spot or a spot where something bad happens, like a furnace bangs or a dryer shakes or something like that. So what can you tell people if they've got cats that don't pee and poo in the right place and they've already taken them to the vet and they know it's not kidney or liver or bladder, the cat is okay, healthy, but it just won't always use the litter. Maybe they need more litter boxes if they've got lots of cats. What do you think? What should they be looking at here?
Well, the first thing is to look to the hygiene of the box. A litter box should be scooped twice a day. Okay? And I've got 2 litter boxes in my house, and I scoop them twice a day. And all, so that's 4 scoopings altogether. And altogether, those 4 scoopings take me 5 minutes. 2.5 minutes in the morning, 2.5 minutes in the evening. Everybody has time for that. In addition, when you walk by the box, if something smells nasty, you should scoop it. And if something smells nasty, why wouldn't you want to scoop it? Of course you'd want to anyway. So it's twice a day and occasionally a little bit more.
How many cats
After
have you got?
Two.
How many cats? Okay, so 2 cats and we're talking, okay. Just so people
and
know,
have
if you have 4 cats,
yeah,
you need to scoop more. And if you have more
right.
cats, if you have 4 cats, how many boxes do you need?
You should have 4 boxes.
So, yeah, I hear you say that. But it seems to me, in my house anyway, that when I walk by the litter box and it stinks, I am the only one who seems compelled to do something about it. And I do think there's a gender difference here. I don't know, but I don't know if I've ever seen a man stop what he's doing to change a litter box that he smelled on his way.
You know, it's interesting because my husband occasionally used to say to me when he'd walk by the litter box, he'd go, "Oh, that stinks." And I'd just say, "Yeah, it does, scoop it." and now he's in the habit. So some of it is just, you know, sometimes the men need redirection as well.
I thought maybe it was a different sense of smell because I do notice, you know, and what you say about cats is true, that your cat is noticing because he's right in there. But also in terms of things like eating, if a cat won't eat his food, oftentimes that's because he can't smell it. And that can sometimes be, if a cat all of a sudden goes off its food, sometimes it's got a dental problem or a nasal problem or an infection. And so smell is really important to cats, more so than you might think.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the point is with us, if you went into a bathroom, let's say you went into the public restroom in a restaurant or a store, and it smelled nasty and was filthy, you'd go find someplace else to go to the bathroom. You wouldn't use that restroom. And it's the same with cats. If they get into their litter box and it's filthy and smells nasty, they're going to go find someplace else to go to the bathroom. So the number one thing about, you know, litter boxes is hygiene, but there are other issues as well, which you touched on, one of which is that there's something about the box. Some boxes are closed, and some cats are okay with closed boxes, and they prefer the privacy, but some cats prefer a more open box, especially bigger cats. They like a very big box. I live in New York City, a city that have tiny little bathrooms that when you sit down, your knees are touching the door. Nobody likes the cats feel that way. They're going to find someplace else to go that's more comfortable. And location is also important because just as we wouldn't want someone barging in on us when we're in the toilet, cats also don't like to be like in a busy kitchen area or in a hallway where people are coming and going or in an area where kids are running in and out and screaming. Or a lot of people like to put the cat box in the laundry room and it's next to the washing machine and suddenly the spin cycle kicks in when they're in there and it's scary and they just like, "I don't like being here. This is kind of scary. I'm getting startled," and they're going to find someplace else to go. Basically, cats want from their bathrooms the same thing that we want. They want cleanliness.
Well, and the competition factor is important. You know, you might think, like when you look at dogs, dogs are very social about going to the bathroom and very not so social when they eat. Every dog wants his own bowl and he doesn't want interference and he doesn't want other dogs around him, and that's how they are about eating. Cats aren't really that way. In fact, you'll find cats from the same family sharing food quite easily, but not the litter box. Nobody wants to wait for the bathroom. Isn't that true?
Yeah, so that cats will also, I mean, because cats do control access to resources, and it's true that some cats will share food, but other cats will not, which is why I do recommend that you have separate bowls and plates for each of your cats. But access to the litter box is an important resource, and one of the ways that cats express their hierarchy is by controlling access to the litter box. So very often you'll have a cat who will lie down near the litter box, and it looks like nothing to you. It looks like Sparky's just lying near the litter box. But Fluffy, the other cat, sees that and sees
and
that
she has
you know,
to
the
go.
Main, the main route to the litter box is being guarded, and she doesn't dare go there, and so she goes in the plant or on the couch or on your pillow or something else. So
and it's not
quite
her
as important.
Fault. If you
yeah.
had two litter boxes in two different areas, then the big bully cat can't guard them both. So there's always one
exactly.
free left. I understand
exactly.
that. Okay, so you've got some other books here too, like Cool Cats and The Pony Guide and Killer Whales. It sounds like you're trying to get kids to interact better with animals from these books.
Well, I mean, those are beginning readers, and they are fun. The ones about domestic animals, like ponies and cats and dogs, have a lot of care information. The ones about killer whales, obviously, you don't keep killer whales as a pet. They're just about learning more about animals and understanding them and understanding how cool they are. One of the things I try to do in all my interactions with kids, and I do have a lot of interactions with kids, is to just show them how very cool animals are, because I think the more they understand the animals are neat and unique beings, the more empathy they have for them and the more likely they are to treat animals with respect and wonder and love, which is, you know, the way everyone should be treating animals.
So for most people out there listening today, they know that you're the cat lady from the Sunday New York Post, and most of them probably have a question or two for you. But even those who have a cat who doesn't scratch them, doesn't destroy their furniture, isn't mean to them, doesn't do litter box indiscretions, even they probably have a hard time giving their cat medicine. So what do you suggest for all of us? When we have to trim nails or give pills or liquids or do something your cat really does not want, what do we do?
Well, the first thing is to think of, you know, to think of ways to keep it as pleasant as possible, to use the smallest amount of restraint possible. Also to do it as quick as possible, because the longer it takes, if you get nervous, spend a lot of time sort of pinning your cat down and all of that, the longer it takes, the worse it is. So, you know, you start with your own attitude, which is, you know, you need to just sort of not be nervous about it, because your nervousness goes to your cat and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it quick and we're going to get it done. So the unpleasant part will be as quick as possible. In my opinion, one of the easier ways to medicate a cat is to use liquids. And you can talk to your veterinarian about that. Some medications are available in liquid form.
Just want to make sure that people understand that if you can, ask for liquids. When they tell you you
right.
need to get pills, ask for liquids instead, don't you think? Because it's easier, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it is good to ask, is that medication available in a liquid form? I mean, and some aren't.
Right.
Everything all the time. And the liquids do expire more quickly than the tablets. And so, but it's always good to ask if the medication is available in liquid form. And liquid medications, you give using a plastic syringe, and that's a typical, just like the kinds of syringes you see at the doctor's office, but no needle. So it's just the plastic part, and you can wash them and use them again and again. You can get them at the pharmacy. The veterinarian, if they give you medicine, will give them with it. And what you do then is you put the cat, I like to put the cat in an elevated place. Top of the cat tree is really good, or at the back of the couch or something like that. So someplace that's elevated. And then I just kind of lean over them with one arm, so the cat's kind of between my body and my armpit and my forearm. Mm-hmm. And you just lift their head slightly with one hand, stick the syringe in behind the back teeth, and give it a squirt. And you'd, so you do it real quick, and so you're not sort of holding the cat up off the ground or in your lap. You're just leaning over them a little bit, so that's a minimum of restraint, so there's less fussing. Stick the syringe in and give them a little squirt, and then have a treat ready, and give them a treat right after, and give them a kiss and tell them what a good boy he is.
Well, one thing you told me the last time we were on the radio, which surprised me, and I don't know why I didn't think of it myself, but if you do give a cat regular pills, you ought to give it water this way, the way with the syringe, right after. And can you explain that to everybody?
Right. And there was some research done about 2 years ago, really important research, that found that when you give a cat a pill, and just a dry pill, it often gets stuck in the esophagus. It ends up clinging to the side of the esophagus and doesn't go all the way down. As a result of that, one is that it can damage the esophagus. And the other is, I mean, and eventually the cat has creates enough saliva that the medicine does get down, but it takes a very long time. And so, and the cat also has more chance to cough it up or spit it out later when you're not looking.
Everybody's had
that experience where they clean out the closet and find all the pills they thought they gave the cat, you know, in the back of the closet. So it's very important for the health of the cat and also for the efficacy of the medicine to give them a syringe of water when you finish pilling them. The other option, and so then you have the thing of you have to put the pill down the cat's throat and then you have to put the syringe down the cat's throat. So that's two things that one of you like very much, which is why I prefer when I'm giving a cat a pill to use food for that. Sometimes you can get away with using something sticky like cream cheese, fill in a little pat of butter. But cats, they have very sensitive tongues, and they can very often lick all the cream cheese water off the pill and leave the pill there. So what I like to use a variety of commercial treats that are made for giving pills to cats. One of them is called Ferdo. One of them is called Pill Pockets. And they're very yummy treats. A lot of cats like them. A majority like them. And they're sticky. They're like the consistency of ceramic clay. And you put the pill inside and just kind of pinch it over. And you can use a very small piece or you can use a big piece, depending on the size of the pill. And the cat, they're so sticky that the cat really cannot get the pill out. And they're just yummy treats.
Okay.
And if you give the cat a pill with food, the pill really does go all the way down, so then you don't have that problem of the pill sticking in the esophagus. I've got a cat with a heart condition. She takes two pills a day, and she comes running when I shake the pill bottle because she's good at treats, and she loves them. She loves them. She just thinks it's a yummy treat with a crunchy center.
That would be a way better reaction than what most of us get. Okay, so how do we bathe a cat? Have you got a tip on that, or is it just everybody for himself?
In my opinion, you don't bathe a cat. Okay,
you don't
we'll
bathe
start
a cat
with that.
Ever? What if your cat like gets really filthy in oil or something horrible from the
So let me say two things. The first is, you know, most cats never need a bath in their lives. Cats spend probably 30% of their waking hours grooming. Okay?
That's so true.
30% of the time that they're awake, they're grooming themselves. So if your cat doesn't get into anything particularly nasty or dangerous, they never need a bath. Most cats never need a bath. However, if your cat gets into something dangerous, like some kind of gardening supplies that have the potential to be toxic, or motor oil, or antifreeze, or a cleaning supplies, you know, or something like that.
Antifreeze, really watch out, guys. Really watch out. Antifreeze, even a half a teaspoon could kill your cat. So really watch out on that
one. Absolutely.
So if your cat needs
something like that on them, or, I mean, I had once a situation where a cat of mine jumped up someplace she wasn't supposed to be and pulled a bowl of salad oil down onto herself. So it's either something toxic or something that they couldn't reasonably clean off themselves. You may have to bathe them. Okay. In that case, it's the best place to do that is up in the sink, in the kitchen sink. What you want to do is not spray the cat with water or hold the cat under the faucet. What you want to do is gently use a cup and gently pour the water over the cat. The best thing to do is to hold the cat at the haunches, which is the tush, basically the backside, and the withers, which is up at the top of the shoulders. You want to have two people holding them and one person holding them with two hands. The other person gently sort of using a cup to get tepid water over them. And shampoo from the neck back. Make sure you don't get any shampoo in the face. It's going to be an unpleasant experience for both of you.
Go fast, right? Speed is of the essence. You're running out of time before you start. Dogs are much more go with the flow on things like this. Cats, you've got to...
It's important, like,
tick, 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 tick. You've got a limited time. It's like a grenade. You've got to go fast.
It's important to not let go also, which is why I like to have two people there, so that one is holding them in the front and back and the other is doing the water, because the instant you let go, your cat's out of the sink and somewhere else. So it's important.
And he will spring off whoever is there. You will get scratched. So really, no kids around for this. Okay,
absolutely.
So I want to just tell you, though, when you say all cats groom themselves 30% of the time, I just want to let you know that Dr. Ian Dunbar, the famous dog trainer and veterinarian, he's also studied dogs, cats, all different animals. And he told me on a show, and I couldn't believe it when he said this, but he told me that there's a certain percentage of cats out there that are just total, complete slobs.
They neglect their coats. It's not that they're unhappy. It's that they just don't care. They're like Oscar the Grouch who lives in the garbage can. And he was going into how he once owned one and all this stuff about it. But so I just thought I'd just raise that with you because maybe on a future show we can have you both on and see, go head to head on this. But I know one thing you recommend is butter. So if people out there have a cat who's got a lot of hairball problems, should they be feeding it a little bit of butter? Go down.
Well, the first thing that you want to do with hairball problems actually is brush your cat. Okay? The number one prevention for hairballs is to brush your cat. The more you brush your cat, the more dead hair is going to come out in the brush, the less dead hair the cat's going to swallow. Okay? Your cat has hairballs. The first thing you want to do is brush your cat. Brush your cat several times a week. Okay? I brush my cats once a week. Works fine for them. They don't have hairballs. But if your cat tends to have hairballs, you want to brush them more often. And as they get older, cats groom less, partly because they're less flexible to reach all those places. And so they tend to get more hairballs as a result. So as they get older, you need to brush them more. But a little bit of oil in the diet can really help with hairballs, too. It also helps to just improve the health of the skin and coat. And so I like butter just because it's something that we have around in the house and cats seem to like it. Some people like to sit and share their morning toast with their cats. I think that's kind of a fun thing to do if it doesn't bother you.
You are the cat lady.
And some people have a concern about butter because it has cholesterol. And I want you to know that you shouldn't worry about that. Cats don't have plaque inside their arteries the way we do as a result of cholesterol. Doesn't present the dangers to them that it does to us.
Okay.
And so a little bit of butter, and again, you know, I'm not talking about a big slab. I'm talking about a fingerful. A little bit of butter can do your cats a lot of good, and a lot of them seem to enjoy it.
Wow, I can't believe our time has flown by so fast, Beth, but I'm going to have to say goodbye now. This has been great.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And I hope people will look for Every Cat Survival Guide to Living with a Neurotic Owner and some of these other titles that I mentioned. They'll all be posted right here on Pet Life Radio, so you can find her books right here. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you. Well, that was Beth Adelman coming to the party, and I guess we're ready to have another break from one of our very cool sponsors, and then I'll be talking to you more about cats, dogs, maybe even some monkeys. Talk to you soon. Come back to the party.
Don't leave this party before it's over, because the best is yet to come. Only losers leave the party early anyway. Party on. Back in a few.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
That's it. You're madder than a junkyard dog, and you're not going to take it anymore. Your feathers are ruffled, your dander is up, and you've got a definite bone to pick. Join us each week on Pet Peeves, the show that lets you dig through the dirt and unleash your passion for pets. Your host, pet expert and award-winning author, Amy Shojai, will talk about what makes you howl and what hisses you off. Pet Peeves, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
You're inside the VIP room.
With the hottest party in town.
Back to the party.
Let's go.
Well, hello. Welcome back to the party. Oh, we just said goodbye to Beth Adelman, but the party's not over. Not yet. She'll be back another day. And for now, we're just going to talk a little bit about
some of the things she left us buzzing around the water bowl with. Like, she talked about if you really need liquid meds and your vet has given you a prescription that you could fill as a liquid, but he just doesn't happen to have it on hand that day, ask him for the script and take it somewhere else to fill it. It makes such a difference to getting the medicine in your cat and whether or not your cat gets the medicine or not. If you can get it liquid, get it liquid. The other thing about that is a lot of times the vets are charging a lot for the convenience. And for some of their customers, price is not a factor. So why not, right? One stop, you get everything, you walk out of there, it's all good. But if price is a factor for you, then it's important to ask your vet for the prescription and go fill it somewhere else. It's probably, you probably go where you fill your own medicines, the biggest place you can think of, and you'll get the cheapest price. Pet meds and animal meds are very similar to people meds. They're the same drugs. And a pharmacist can fill either with a prescription from a vet for an animal or from a doctor for a human. So just go to the place you get your own meds filled and you'll get a lot cheaper prices. So that's something to really consider, especially if an animal's life is riding on this decision. If you can't afford to keep your diabetic dog or cat, or you just can't afford these meds, well, maybe you can if you shop around a bit. So please, your vet will not be offended if you explain to him, really, I just can't afford that. May I have the script to take elsewhere? He understands, you know, but you can't blame a guy for trying. He also wants to take advantage of the convenience factor and the upscale clients. And so that's good too. All right. So it just helps you know how to work with your vet. So we're going to say goodbye now. I guess the party's over. I should leave you with a trick. Well, I guess the trick of the day was how to bathe a cat. So we did our trick. So I'll leave you with the trivia answer. The trivia answer for today is horse milk. Not sheep, not goat, but horse milk. Who would have thought it? It's been developed in Belgium. And since they started it, it's grown 40% in 1 year. Sales are up. People love this stuff. It's supposed to be really low on cholesterol, low on fat, and it's being marketed as the new organic, healthy, drug-free milk alternative that's milk but better. So I saw somebody doing a taste test, and he told me, after spitting it out, that it was very cheesy and tasted a little bit like riding lessons. So I don't know if it's going to be on everybody's menu. But the answer to today's trivia question is horse milk. So have yourself a glass and think about that. Well, it looks like the party's over. The music's winding down. The food's all gone. It's all that's left is time to clean up. Even the band's packing up. So we'll see y'all at the next animal party when I have some great guests back on and some great topics for the water bowl. Be good to your animals. Tune in to Pet Life Radio and come to my next animal party with Deb Wolf.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.